May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's something in the American soul about self-reliance, that we're the people who can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I think it begins really with the story of the original colonist who came over here. Can you imagine what it's like to get on a ship? Assuming you made it across the ocean, it would be a journey of a month or two to get back. No help is coming, and you've got to rely on just what you've got right there to survive. And not for a week or a month, but for probably a year before anything else is going to come. That sense of self-reliance, of course, was furthered by the stories of the pioneers as they went out west. All they had was what they had in their wagon, and they were dependent completely on themselves to take care of themselves medically, to feed themselves. It's just part of our soul that we want to be self-reliant. Many of our institutions promote self-reliance, one of which I'm a big fan, the Boy Scouts of America. Or they may have changed their name to Scouts, I think. I am an Eagle Scout, and I learned how to survive if I needed to, if it tossed out into the woods. And I can make shelter, I can have fire, I can do a lot of things. Of course, after a couple days, I think I'm going to get real hungry. I wouldn't last that long in the woods, truly. And my own sense of desire to be self-reliant is reflected in the hobbies that I have. I'm a cyclist, a long-distance cyclist, yeah. And I love the fact that I get on that bicycle. I know that on my own power, I can point west and keep going until I hit the Pacific Ocean. Well, the truth of the matter, as far as I've ever gotten west, is I've ridden across the state of Georgia. And truly, being self-reliant, if there are not a lot of grocery stores or restaurants along the way, I would have starved long before I got to the West Coast. My other hobby is sailing. Again, the thought I could get in my boat in McIntosh County, get in Doughboy Sound, and I can think that I don't need any fuel or whatever, that I can sit there and go out Doughboy Sound and point my bow in whatever direction I want to go, and as long as there's wind, and there usually is, I can get there. Of course, if you know me and my sailing skills, and particularly if you know my 22-foot Catalina, you know we wouldn't get very far. We would be a statistic. My desire for self-reliance is really about independence. I don't want to depend on anybody else. I don't need anybody else. And that's where, in my house, Allison and I have been homeowners for 38 years. I probably have called a plumber or an electrician or a carpenter not 12 times in 38 years. I fix it myself. Now, I don't want to talk about the disasters that I have created for myself in fixing things myself. Many times it would have been much cheaper, much easier, if I had called somebody who knew really what they were doing. You see, my belief in my independence is in reality an exercise in self-delusion. I can't get along in the mundane tasks of daily life without help from others. I mean, I can't grow my own food. I could maybe do a little bit of garden, but again, I would starve very quickly. I can't make my own clothes. I can't do all the things that are necessary to live in this life. I'm dependent upon other people. But at a more important level, I am dependent on those who care for me. I need the help, the support of those who care for me. Obviously, that began with my parents, my mother and father. Without them, I wouldn't have been here, couldn't have grown up. Now I have my wife of 40 years. I don't know what I would do without her, and I don't want to find out. But when it comes to someone who I need to care for me, to support me, to love me, the most important one is Jesus. That's what Jesus is talking about today in our reading from John's Gospel. We're reading again from the last discourse. Jesus is talking to his disciples on the night before he's to be crucified, his last chance to tell them what's important, what they need to know for what is going to happen. And today, we hear from that last discourse the story of the vine and the branches. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I'm essentially at the root, the heart of all of this. You can't survive without me. You cannot succeed without, and Jesus used the word, abide in me. The alternative, Jesus says, to abiding in Jesus isn't too good. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. In other words, true life, abundant life, eternal life is for those who abide in Jesus and not for those who think that they can go it alone. There is no other way. No one can save themselves by themselves. It is only with the support, the nourishment of the vine of Jesus that we can truly live in this life. Simply put, folks, as much as I want to believe it about myself, we are not independent beings. We are dependent beings, dependent upon our Lord. So the question comes, well, how do we abide in Jesus? That's a nice metaphor, vines and branches, but I can't be grafted into a plant. Well, that meant I can't be grafted into anything, much less into Jesus. How do I abide in him? And that's what our reading from 1 John is about today. John says, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. It's all about love. And John goes on to make clear it's not just about love of God, but it's about love of all of God's people, all of God's creation. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And to make it crystal clear that he's talking about not just love of God, but love of all of God's people, John goes on to say, those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And if you know the Gospels, you know when they say the brothers and sisters, they're not just talking about your biological kin. They're talking about all of God's people, all the human beings that God has created. We're called to love them all. Now, of course, love doesn't mean have warm feelings, affections for someone else. That's nice. It's nice when it happens. But the love that is talked about Jesus, the love that John is talking about, comes from the Greek word agapeo, which means, we translate it, I love. But it means I love in terms of I care for, I sacrifice for, I give for. It's a verb and not a noun. It's what you do, it's not what you feel. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. It's not just like 1 John. If you can go back in Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about separating the sheep from the goats. And they were separated from, i.e., who inherits the kingdom of God and who did not, on who cared for the lost and the left out, the sick, the naked, the hungry, the prisoners, the strangers. It is that that Jesus is talking about. That's what he says to love. That's who we are called to love. We're called to love the poor, the sick, the mentally ill, the obnoxious ones, the ones who don't look like us, the ones who are enemies and who hate us. We're called to love those who, from the world's standpoint, are unlovable. That's what the gospel says. That's what Jesus said. Now, I hope you're thinking right now, that's a pretty tall order. Because if you're not thinking that's a tall order, you're not taking it seriously. And Jesus means it seriously. It's a very tall order. There's a lovely lady at St. Cyprian's in Darien, and everyone, something like this would come up to be preached, she'd come up to me afterwards in the service and say, "Ted, I just can't do that. I can't love that person." Usually we're talking about somebody that would have been a drug dealer or terrorist or something else, which, by the way, that is included. And I know it's a tall order. Personally, I believe that she was capable, and I believe that she was selling herself short. But the truth of the matter is that we all fall short in that regard. We all do. We don't love our neighbor perfectly, just like we don't love God perfectly. But it is Jesus' command. But the good news of the gospel is that God loves us so much. Notice when God loves us, He sent His Son. The verb, it wasn't that God likes us that much. See, God loves us. He sent His Son for us. He did for us. He sacrificed for us. Jesus gave His life for us. And God loves us so much that God even forgives us. Another good verb. Forgives us even when we fail to love. The question is, where is our heart? Where is our direction? Where are we trying to go? If we ever harden our hearts, if we turn our backs on our brothers and sisters, even those unlovable ones, then we are in danger of separating ourselves from the true vine, the life-giving vine of our Lord. That's when we become in danger of becoming those branches, which we know where they end up. It's where do we orient ourselves? Now, I like to think of myself as self-reliant. It gives me a sense of power over my own fate. But I know this idea of self-reliance is both delusional and self-destructive, because I am completely dependent on my brothers and sisters for all the necessities of life. But most importantly, I am dependent on Jesus for life itself, because Jesus is the true vine which nourishes me and all others He created. And all Jesus asks of me is to love. For if I do that, I will be abiding in His vine, the vine that sustains me, and the only vine that can save me. Amen.